Welcome, everyone. The agendas have already been passed out, Mariah, is that correct?
There are a couple more under that beautiful zucchini squash someone should take home.
So if you need an agenda, there
or
they are.
Zucchini.
Yeah, or a zucchini.
And Kathy, we're going to you.
Okay. We passed out the minutes for review, and I believe there was no changes. So I propose that we pass them.
I had responded back with a couple of things.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
A while ago.
Okay.
I'm not sure. We just want to make sure those changes.
Cindy, did those get changed? Over.
I thought you we were taking it over.
Okay.
From me.
So all right. We'll check that. We'll check it.
Yeah. As long as those changes are in there.
So. Okay.
And I agree with the changes.
Okay.
Okay. So I propose that we pass them. Yeah.
Okay. I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Deal. Next, Mr. Joe Bose, Treasurer Report.
Okay. As far as the dues go, we're 97.2% paid, so we're in good shape. Checking accounts get $102,280. Savings has got 61,000, just under 200, and the other savings has got 4,200, and everything's looking good, no problems. Nothing special to report other than that. Anybody got any questions?
No questions. All right. Thank you, Joe. Mariah for the office report, and we are so happy that you are here. It's been a while.
No, Mariah, they're happy that I'm no longer.
It's just not the same.
As far as the office report goes, election ballots are in the mail, so watch for those. Please make sure if you are sending your ballot back to me by mail, that it needs to be received in my post office box by Friday. I won't have time to check it on Saturday. That deadline is on the ballot. So if you intend to mail, please give yourself 10 days time prior to the due date to have that in the mail.
When's the due date?
The due date for in-person ballots here at the meeting is 11:30 on September the 11th, right? That's the date of our meeting? Yes. So that's for in-person. If you will be mailing them, they need to be here by Friday, September 10th, for postal delivery. So don't procrastinate. Drop them in the mail as soon as you get them. You can send them back. Did that answer your question, Dan?
Yes.
For dates? Okay.
Yes.
And Mariah, yes. I'm sorry, Mariah. I know last year there was some concern or questions from people that were, like, far away up in Alaska or elsewhere, that they didn't get enough time, or they felt like they didn't have enough time. Have we addressed that? Are people going to have plenty of time to respond this year?
Yes. So you should. They're getting their ballots a full month early.
Okay.
But if for some reason there's always something that seems to come up, you know, and so yes, they just need to contact me, and we have steps we can take to ensure that if they would like to vote, their vote can be counted.
Okay.
Also, in your ballot packet, besides the ballot itself, is a questionnaire that the board has sent out, and we're requesting that be returned in the same packet. So you can return them separate, but if it saves you time, drop it in that same envelope, and that questionnaire will be part of our.
Okay.
That's
fine. I can't wait longer. I'll get ready before you mail it to me. Is there anything else about that?
Okay. That's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Any questions for Mariah? Okay. Thank you. And Mr.
Jacobson. Well, it's been an interesting year, equipment wise. I finally got the ranch truck back after two transmissions, the whole everything went out in that Ford. The GMC is in line to go back in. I don't normally keep track of this, but I thought it was interesting. We've had 11 flat tires this year. It's been a year. We reseeded the lawn 2 days ago and prayed for rain, and the Lord blessed us with an abundance. And so I mulched it this morning, and hopefully we'll have some nice, beautiful grass coming up through there. We got the grader fixed. Thank you, Brent and Joe and John. And I've been able to, and for those of you who didn't see my little goose picture, it was pretty cool. But I've been able to practice grading around the areas here, and I'm hopefully we'll be gaining some proficiency at it eventually. While we have these two warriors out here grading now, I'll be picking their brains because I have questions for them. And Dallas, the county grader who usually does Scootumpaw, is a friend of mine, and he's been giving me some pointers as well. And Brent, and yeah, that's about it.
Okay, how are we doing on the petting zoo?
Well, the petting zoo is, we've got sheep and goats, and the sheep love to come out and visit. I got them penned up right now so that they can be a bit of a nuisance. But they will run up to you and jump in your car. And did they? Yeah. Yeah, Bob Johnson came up last night. We were talking for a little bit, and the sheep just came right up and walked right in the house. Yeah. So.
And then you mentioned earlier about the shirt inventory in there, that you have some things coming.
We have, finally, I placed the order in April, and they didn't even notify me. They emailed Mariah, who forwarded the email to me, and I finally got shirts coming for the what do you call these? The dirty shirt?
What, red dirt.
Red dirt.
Red dirt shirt.
Red dirt shirts and hats are coming in. So, and Joe brought us a new used refrigerator for the store, so we'll be able to have cold sodas and ice cream.
And it's electric, so hopefully the problems will go away with the gas.
Yeah. It's a 500 cubic foot. Just kidding.
That's the whole store.
Exactly.
Anybody want a rooster?
Anybody want 13 roosters?
Yeah.
Barbecue.
Yeah. We got lamb and goat and roosters.
We're serious. Free to good or bad home.
Okay, any questions for Kurt in terms of property management? Anything going on at the ranch?
Well, I think in this section I'll mention it kind of crosses over between volunteer and the property management. Is that I don't know if anybody's noticed, but we've got a garden going.
The garden, Cindy and Judith have taken on volunteering in the garden, and we got tomatoes and we've got lettuce and squash and all that stuff growing up in the back. And
we have spinach.
Spinach doesn't take very long, though. Radishes don't take long.
Right.
Hey, Kurt.
Yeah. So,
I got one question. I don't know if this is property management or not. Who made the signs for, like, Meadow Canyon and all this? Did you get it through you?
No. I don't know who makes the signs.
What signs?
Oh, mm-hmm. The road signs?
Well, for all the streets, you mean?
Yeah. Is that what you mean?
Up here on the intersection of Scootumpaw and Meadow, I keep getting people out where we're at because they go up Meadow Canyon looking for like Johnny Brown.
Right.
There's no sign up there that says, you know, it says District Ranch this way, and so they go up Meadow looking for either Johnny Brown or vice versa.
So maybe we should put a Johnny Brown sign there that says...
Yeah, we need a Johnny Brown sign.
Just arrow signs for Meadow Canyon and Johnny Brown.
That's a John Harris question there.
Yeah. All the original street signs were done when Ken Lent was still here. That was what...
Well, there's a big one right now that says Deer Springs Ranch, Meadow Canyon. And so people get there and they say, "Oh, Deer Springs Ranch," and they go up Meadow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The other one's sitting there and it says Upper Cabins got an arrow, and it says 6 miles got an arrow. I don't know what six. I don't know where 6 miles goes.
That's to the cabins and ponds.
Well, yeah, but it says you got arrows going both ways.
Oh, I haven't noticed that.
Yeah, there's a sign there. It's got a white arrow on this side and then it says cabins, and then it says 6 miles, and an arrow that way.
Well, we should tag that arrow with Johnny Brown.
Yes.
Jeff Nicholson put up most of the signs. Do you know where those other ones came from?
They're Dale's, Joe. Yeah.
They were Dale's?
Dale put those big signs together.
Okay.
So, Dale, you wanted to comment?
Depends on whether you want to know the truth or not.
We always want to know the truth.
I had those signs painted by Rainbow in St. George. One Light Canyon and one that one and some on Juniper Hill. Somebody stole the one on Slide Canyon a year ago. Some of you will remember it being there.
Yeah,
the same as the one over here, because people were bypassing, not turning off in the Meadow Canyon. Ken Lent did build a bunch of signs. However, I don't know that any of you have put one of them up. So they don't do much good. They sat over here in the garage in a barrel for 3 or 4 years.
I think Jeff put them all up. Jeff Nicholson put them all up.
No, Jeff hasn't put all of them. He's put quite a few up.
Oh. Are those lot numbers?
Yes. That's what we're paying for.
Not well. And, there were some lot numbers, but all the street names
and the road signs were most of them made by they were made by us 40 years ago, and you still find some of those 2x6s with the numbers. But the nicer ones were made by Ken Lent, and he may have had help from some. But we've tried to put them up all over the ranch. There's still probably, I'll bet there's still 30 that are not put up. Jeff has done a nice job putting up numbers and signs. Do you like the idea of having lot number signs or not?
Yes.
Well, I think that they're very essential.
Yeah.
I'd like to see us have a lot more road signs also. And if they need them to, go to Johnny Brown or the different places, it's very critical out here in the wild. We need signs. Someone needs to take more leadership in helping to get the signs on the ground. And some have fallen over, but even if they've fallen over, the neighbors usually leave them fallen over. So I think we all need to take some pride in our identification and helping people to know how to get there. Along the same line, I think we need maybe better maps. I get calls and people say, hey, we're going to Cabin 4. How in the world do I find it, especially if it's after dark? So there are people, our members, don't want to get lost. They don't want to waste a lot of time. They have maybe a couple of cars following. So I think it's our responsibility to help them know where to turn, what to turn, and maybe those people who put up white paper plates that has a name on them for a weekend event should be responsible to take those down, because they cause a lot of confusion when they're left up for 6 months.
Now, with just a comment on there, with people coming in and looking for a cabin, we have in our reservation program, we have a column for check-in. If it's self-check-in, yes or no. If it's not a self-check-in, then they're instructed to come to me, and I take them up to their cabins.
At midnight.
It's happened more than once.
Bob has a question over here, too.
So, if you want, I can make some PDF maps and they're geo-referenced. And I've done that for Brenda when she's been just looking at selling people's lots. And I have the roads on it and the lot numbers. And if you have a phone, you can actually follow yourself on the map. So I can make some of those, send it to you, and you can put them on the website for people.
That'd be awesome.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yay! Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Stepping forward.
Technology! Wow!
We have it on the computer. We send it out. when people get out here.
Well, that's part of it is you have to download it. So
yeah.
You download it, you put it on your Mac, and we'll have the instructions on what to do. So if you have a phone.
That's great.
Not everybody uses smartphones, and that's fine. So that would be a different story. Then you turn it out.
There's a way we can do better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the reality is we should have both available.
Yeah.
You know, a printed map that's very descriptive with, you know, 0.2 miles to the next turn, you know, that kind of thing. People can follow that. And the people that are technology savvy, I know they'd love to have it on their smartphone.
Yeah.
So, Bart, do you have the map that you need, or does somebody need to send that to you?
No, he made a map.
I made my own.
Oh, okay.
He made one that you can follow yourself on.
And it's got the lots?
Yeah, I pulled down the parcel data from the...
Excellent. That's great.
He's talking like it's no big deal.
He talks about everything like it's no big deal.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Yes, give that to Mariah. She's got the website.
Bart, is that going to be by lot number or ownership?
It'll be by lot number.
Lot number, great.
So Mariah's putting together the website. She's working on the website right now. If you'd talk to her about that, that'd be great.
Three doors down.
We were in the play together.
Oh, that's right.
Bart, can you take the roosters too?
Yeah. I already tried that.
You already tried that.
All right.
Thank you very much for the offer. Yeah, thank you. Any other questions about ranch operations or anything else for the ranch for Kurt?
Doing a good job.
Can I get back to garden since we got...
Oh, yes, gardens. Yes, gardens.
Gardens took a hard start, right. If anybody likes to garden, feel free to go in there, pull weeds. It needs to be watered at this stage. You can't water it too much. But I know that some people are very interested in gardening and...
So
also, feel free to
for sale or
no,
it's just, no, just for come and get them.
Yeah,
just for
here. Or
just for any member that wants to come and get some.
For members to come and enjoy. We're gonna have more zucchini and cucumbers and possibly tomatoes and radishes than we know what to do with.
You planted some fruit trees too, didn't you?
Yeah, they're doing really good.
Back there,
the orchard back there.
I couldn't get a peach to take, doggone it. But Arnie told me that they would replace them for free next year.
Oh.
But we got plums, two varieties of apples, pears, cherries, and something else. I can't quite remember what it is.
Deer fence around them?
Yeah, there's a 2.89 deer fence. The trees are not really for the fruit, they're bait.
Oh, if anybody's handy with fixing fences, the gate to the garden doesn't close. We have to jury rig it. So, and that's beyond my capabilities. So, there's another volunteer opportunity if anybody wants to.
Well, we did the fencing, but Kurt put the gate up.
I wasn't gonna criticize.
Fix your gate. I'm hearing her say, "Fix your gate on the garden."
It's not my garden and my gate. It's your garden.
It's your garden.
Gate.
All right.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
If I come down there and fix that gate, I'm emptying that garden.
Don't empty it now.
Take the weeds.
Yeah, take the weeds. There's lots of weeds.
He's just kidding because he won't eat any of it.
Oh, if you pull weeds, the goats love to eat the weeds.
The weeds,
so
yeah.
Pulling them over the fence.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just curious, which plant is the ribeye?
Do you have to pull all those weeds and then you'll see the ribeye plant.
Larry's right. Trying to call in.
He'll just have to use the teleconference information. I don't know how else to tell him because my phone's occupied. And we didn't roll call who was on the teleconference. That reminds me.
Oh, yes, we should do that. Yes, thank you.
It's usually just Vince, but he's here.
This is, so back to roll call. We would like to know who is on the conference call on the phone. So if you're on the phone, please announce your name and lot number.
Well, that was easy.
Wow. Do we still? Is it still connected? Maybe that's why Larry can't.
Yeah, he's messaging something back. Vance, it's good to see you here.
Mm-hmm.
Normally you're on the teleconference.
I got stuff to do, so.
Make it quick, right?
Okay, well, we'll move on while Kurt's working on that. Next on the agenda, we want to talk about a couple of things. Road maintenance, repairs, and improvements. We all know that we've had a lot of road damage recently.
Hello. Please enter your 6-digit conference code.
Ignore me. Go ahead.
Okay. So we want to talk about roads, and we also want to talk about
gravel. Welcome to free conference call. The conference
and
has not started. If you are the host, please enter your 4-digit host code to open the conference. If you are not the host, we will now connect you to your call. There are, one, attendees in this conference.
As you all know, we've, our roads were bad enough from the
conference recording started.
But then we got a lot of water this year and washed a lot of roads out and some culverts and what have you. And I've been trying to get a grader out here. That's a little tough to get a grader out here when you need one right now when the roads are washed out because these guys are busy. But Kurt, I've got the our grader fixed now, but we use that for emergencies only. When I have to do major work, then I bring in some professionals that really know what they're doing, and right now I have a grader out. They came out yesterday. Wade is a county grader, and he's working his days off for us out here through Norris Church, and he's out here grading right now Meadow Canyon, and he's pulling up some of the gravel off the sides of the road that have been cars moving it to the sides. And last year when we did a light grading on a dry road, we had some pushed up on the side. Now that he's pulled them up into the middle of the road. Now there's a lot of dirt there that looks like the gravel's gone, but the gravel's in the dirt and it's up back on the road now. And my plan is, and Norris is supposed to be out here running the second grader, and I assume he's out here by now. I'm going to hit the Podunk area over there, Johnny Brown, with it while they're out here. And I'm heading Meadow Canyon, and I'm going over into Slide. And this time I want to go all the way up to the end lot and Slide, which is one that we rarely go to, all the way up to the very end, and get that one. And we had a lot of damage that was done up in Crawford up there. I had some pretty bad washouts up there, and we're going to go up through there and grade that area. We had some really bad washout on Old Burn there. We had a 5-foot culvert there that actually plugged up this year. A tree, of all things, as long as from here to that couple over here, Mark. Mark, right? I remembered it, Mark. That's pretty good. Anyway,
Larry's with us now.
It was this big around, and it had a root system like that, and it come right down the chute and right into a 5-inch culvert, and we had to cut it.
Oh, my goodness.
Cut it in pieces to get it out of there. Okay, but that culvert up there is 5 foot in diameter, and we have down here on Meadow Canyon, we had a 30-inch culvert that washes out from time to time, and it did it again this year.
Twice
this year. And, the feed coming to it of water from a five-foot culvert up the mountain. Okay. That 5 feet of water coming down here to a 30-inch culvert. I don't know, something that doesn't compute there. Plus, there's the mountains on the sides of it that has a lot of drain off, coming all the little tributaries off of that in there. So that's why that thing keeps washing out. So I'm going to have to remove it and put a much larger culvert in. We were just talking about that in the executive meeting. I got to get a bunch of 48-inch culverts. We had coming down from the back gate out of the National Forest there. That thing is plugged up, and that culvert is plugged up, and the road, it's washed out several times through this rain. And the culvert there is just in the wrong place because the water comes down and makes a turn and comes back into it and slows water down. So I'm going to put a large culvert in up there coming straight off the mountain so the water comes down and goes straight through the culvert. And the speed should keep it clean where it is now when it's come down, making a turn that slows it down and makes another turn that slows it down, and all the gravel and all the silt and what have you just slows down and drops right there in front of a culvert that's too small. It's another 30-inch culvert. And so I'm going to have to put a 48 in there. So I'm going to have to make some purchase of some large culverts here this year and get them in, because we're getting tired of fixing the same things over and over again. And I just authorized, told Kathy that over in the Podunk that we got a culvert over there that's going to be changed, and so we're going to give her two sections of larger culvert to take care of that problem. That's been an ongoing problem for quite a few years. And very honestly, they've been asking me to do something about that
John,
over the years. Yes, ma'am.
If you'll provide the culvert, Randy says he'll do it.
Yeah, that's what Kathy said. I already told her to take them. I got two 30-inch ones.
Okay.
And a clamp.
Okay.
To clamp them together.
Okay.
So it now belongs to Podunk. I'll take that deal whenever somebody else is going to do the work. But honestly, very honestly, a culvert, 48-inch culvert's $139 a foot. Okay, so that's about $2,800 for 20 foot. But you got to have at least 30 to go across these roads. And so, you know, that gets expensive. But believe it or not, taking out an old culvert and installing that one there exceeds the cost of the culvert, just the labor with the machinery and everything that it takes. Because big machinery to come out here, it costs you money to have it delivered out here. It can cost $500 to $1,000 to get a machinery out here before you even start. Now, I'm using Norris Church here, and he does not charge me, but I got to give him at least 2 days' work. But he doesn't charge me that fee. But it still costs $1,500 a day for a machine to come out here and do the work. So
was he the one that created last year?
Yes.
He did a good job.
Yeah. Well, Wade actually did that over there. That's he works for the county. He used to grade our roads here, but he's up in Duck Creek now. And he's a really good grader. In fact, he cleaned all of it out between Old Burn going out to the Podunk and Johnny Brown all the way out. Now, we were mentioning that signs on that road over there. And I warn you, if this is the road you're talking about putting a sign on, even though that thing has been graded, that's a hairy road. I mean, it gets steep.
I'm around the corner, so I stop a lot of people because GPS, for some reason, wants to put them on that the toll road, that 551.
Yeah.
GPS takes them that way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to put a sign up there that when I finish that one.
Yeah.
I do stop people going through there. Yeah.
We graded that, and I drove it after it was graded, and I said, oh, in my Jeep, and I said, oh, my goodness. Some people come out here with the wrong kind of vehicle, and they're going to be there. We'll catch them next spring sometime.
If we're putting signs up, if we're redoing, you know, the signs and putting new signs up on some of these roads, can we please put, you know, four-wheel drive high clearance only? Can we indicate somehow? This is not for, we've had sedans pull up behind our property that were like, we thought we were going to die, you know, and they probably live.
Right here this year, I was talking about the forest gate and that water there, because everything was plugged up, it was coming down the road. The full width of the road, about so deep, water washing. I drove up there, and there was some guy from Alabama stopped in a pickup. And he was just sitting there, and I said, can I help you? Where are you trying to get to? And he says, well... He says, I'm looking for Willis Creek.
Oh!
I said, Willis Creek? I said, well, he says, my GPS said it was this way. And I said, well, no, you should have stayed on Scootin' Paw Road there, and you turned off here. But you wouldn't have got across anyway, because Lake Wash has got water going through it now. And he said, well, I was going up through this forest. And I says, well, you're not going to get into that, are you? I said, because I don't know. The water looks this deep, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I got four-wheel drive. And I said, yeah, and street tires. And I said, you can't go through there. Yeah, you couldn't get up there anyway because it all washed out. So I... help back him out and get him out of here and get him out of there. But that's how bad that thing is up there, this bad. And I live up there, and I have to go across it, but it's got to be fixed. So that's one of them. Is there any questions about right now? Yes, Dale.
John, about 8 or 10 years ago, I put cinders on your road.
Yes.
Does it help?
Yeah.
Does it help?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
We didn't put very many.
No, you didn't put very many, and then when it got widened, why, we lost some of it.
Yeah.
And
nevertheless, it still kept us out of the mud.
My
suggestion would be, I noticed in the budget you have several thousand dollars, which you're spending.
Mm-hmm.
As a developer, I've made a cinder mine. I don't know how many of you know where the cinder mine is.
I know where it is.
But there's a million tons of cinders. And if the next, if, you know, while you're doing this thing, if you'd identify maybe a 1,000 foot or 1,500 over in Slide and in Meadow Canyon, you can come up and you can haul off. I can give you enough cinders to do those two stretches of road so that people can see what it is. I think the cinders should be used throughout the ranch. And that's why I filed and got the cinder mine over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so as in charge of the roads, you and I have talked about it a time or two, but
yep.
We really still haven't done anything, so I thought it's appropriate. There's a concern about some washouts. The washouts are really quite immaterial. The problem is clay. We've got areas on the ranch that make it impossible to move. We need to get some cinders on the clay areas, and so I'd like to volunteer a bunch of cinders for your road crew. When I like Norris and the guys, if they'll kind of straighten and prepare 1,000 foot or 1,500 and maybe get somebody to haul those cinders out, I think the membership would would re-elect you. I think between here and the annual meeting.
I don't know. Really, I'm up for re-election. They may throw me out this year.
I make a statement on roads in the next couple of months and get a topic on some of these roads. And the senders are free.
Well, good. Thank you
for that.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
That's a good thing. You and I did talk about that before, and let's not just talk.
At that time,
there was a price attached to it, but now it's free, so that's good. One of the toughest things about getting any kind of gravel, whether it be cinders or anything else on the roads, is the cost of transportation. That's bigger, far bigger than the cost of the material itself. But I do appreciate that, and they do work. They work on this road here. They need some more on it. They need some more on it. And I know that you've got some over in the slide. And as I said, we're coming over in the slide. Our little dump truck will hold a maximum of 5 yards, and it takes a long time to get over the ranch with 5 yards. But
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the thing about it is I think that you know, we do it out of Johnny Brown, where we haul gravel in. A bunch of us have dump trailers. A bunch of us have dump trucks.
Yeah.
So I think if we delegate sometime that we turn around and say, hey, let's have a road maintenance. I'm not appalled to going over Slide Canyon helping people in Slide Canyon haul it.
Believe it or not, they're as important as our place over here.
Exactly. If we go over there, we can load all of us haul a little bit and dump it down.
Yeah. That. Go ahead.
FYI, Outlaw Ridge is a train wreck.
I'll bet it is right now. I bet it is right. We went up there last year with the graders, last summer.
Yeah.
With the graders, but right now I'll bet it is. That's a pretty steep hill.
So if we get a time, any place you want to do it, if they get a time, have a loader out there, and have a bunch of us come out, and if they'll load us, I'll dump it.
Some of it's about 6 feet wide right now.
Right. But I'm saying anywhere on the ranch, if they want to haul, I'll take my dump trailer up there, and I can almost haul what he does on my dump trailer.
Well, the good thing about the cinders, they don't weigh nothing, so you can overload that truck.
Well, the truck that we have, its bed capacity is a maximum of 5 yards. That thing there would carry several times the weight. It's an old military truck. But, well, we can do that, and I will run while I got the graders out here as long as I have them. I haven't talked to Norris to let me know how long I can have them. Simply, that's why he brought two graders out, because Wade has to go back to work. And he will be here today and maybe Sunday. And I don't know how long Norris is going to be able to be here, but I would go back up that grade again this year, because I haven't been up there. For the most part, I guess we didn't get nearly as much damage in slide as we did some other places. Am I right on that?
There's more damage on the cutoff road. I took pictures so you can see them. There's one spot where there's a drop off.
Yeah.
If we have another rain like the other day, there won't be a full lane.
Okay. So far, that's what everybody has told me. It hasn't been as bad over there as it is here.
Well, Larry did a lot of work in slide earlier this year, so I think that helps.
I authorized Larry to just go ahead and widen roads where he needed to. And just bill me for it. I said, you know better. You're over there, because we got a lot of new buyers over there, and they're bringing in some bigger rigs, and some of the corners are kind of tight. And I just told Larry, I said, Larry, you go ahead and do what you think is best on it. and just keep me abreast of it, and I'll make sure you get paid.
While we're talking about the ash, I can tell you one place where it would definitely be very beneficial, and that's when you're going up towards Slide, you go through the Deer Springs Ranch gate, 0.2 mile in, you've got the road that goes off to the left that goes up the mountain there. Right at the bottom, just right when you go off the road, there's like a little depression there, gully. Mm-hmm. I got stuck there with a four-wheel drive.
Yeah,
you know, Ford F-250 with, you know, off-road tires.
Four-wheel drive will get stuck.
Yeah.
Some of these people from up here mud bogging up here, going up through the national forest, think it's fun.
So that's one place that I can tell you that ash would definitely be very beneficial. Does anybody else have any other suggestions in terms of specific areas of roads that would benefit?
Where was that at, Tammy, you were talking about?
I'm going to set off road at 6 and 6.
Evaluate okay. Some of those that we're well aware of.
Yeah.
Like you. So, John, let me know.
Okay. Well, and thanks again, Dale, for the offer.
First part of the BLM cutoff right outside of our house gets tore up.
Oh, we sit there laughing.
Yeah, we crack up. They're spending hours, like, up the road, and then we'll walk out later, and holy macaroni, look at this road.
Right past our place, going up.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You need to park your tractor out front there and say, tractor
for rent,
$100 off.
Well,
I'll pull you out for
right.
You know,
pull you out for $1,000.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, and I'm taking too much time here, but I'm going to tell you a story. A couple of years ago, I was in town, and I was talking to a lady. I don't know how it come up, but I said I was out at Deer Springs, and this is in a rainy season, and she says, oh, my son, after school, likes to go out there mud bogging. And I said, lady, keep your son at home. I said, he likes to come out there mud bogging, and I see some of these young guys come around here, their four-wheel drives got so much mud on it, you can't tell what it is. But we have to fix those at our cost out there because we live out there.
You know, in the wintertime,
and I'm done.
Brand will attest, we're always telling people ask about the road, and we say, well, we're kind of recommending that you don't travel on those roads in the wintertime when it's muddy. And the number one comment, oh, I got four-wheel drive.
It's not a problem.
Wheelers drive after dark. The mud's frozen, and you're not causing any problems, and you don't get stuck.
In and out on the freeze.
And so we've been sneaking in Friday nights late for however many years we're not here on frozen mud.
Yep.
Okay, I got one more item that I got to talk about, and it's the gravel pit. Our gravel pit is in kind of a mess now in this respect. That it's been dug out kind of this way, and kind of we got kind of an overhang there, and we on the ranch here we only have a backhoe to scoop this gravel up with. We don't have a big track hole that we can go up and rake the gravel down, which what needs to be done. And working that gravel pit, we need to have a track hole that will climb up and use the track hole to pull the gravel down. Usually when Larry's done it, when North Church has done it, they've cut a road across there and then start right across the top of this cut, and then they pull the gravel down. But now we've had some use on it. It's not just one person. Even Larry's had to do it. He's had to do it, scoop some out without using the track hole. But right now it's dangerous because if we take our backhoe and go up there and try to pull the gravel out, it can simply just cave over onto the backhoe and the driver that's in it, so it's dangerous. And I've raised a little bit of a, I don't want to use the word.
Concern.
Concern.
Concern. It's a good word.
Yeah, I had a nastier word. But anyway, because it's that way. See, we're not a commercial pet. Now, I realize that the guys that's got the right equipment to do that can work it very safely. But here we're not a commercial pet. This thing is primarily for our ranch and our maintenance. And Kurt, he's not a professional backhoe man. He's not a professional grader man. He's better than me, which I'm no good at all on it. But I don't want him getting hurt in there with a tractor that's not the right machine to do it with a dangerous pet. So what I'm going to be doing now is requesting this, that not to leave it that way. If you got to pull gravel down, then pull it down with the right machine in order to use our pit. I had one guy to come in here at one time. It's been a few years ago. And he told me, he says, well, I have a BLM permit, and therefore I can use this pit. Because, see, we don't own the mineral rights. We only own the pit, but not the mineral rights. So we have to pay... We have to pay to use our own pit here. We have, now it's 75 cents a yard that we put. It's not a ton of money, but it adds up. This guy felt he paid his fee to the BLM, and he feels that he could come in here and take gravel out of this pit. Well, I've asked the question, is that true? Dale, do you know?
What?
You know a lot more about this than I do. Our pit, we don't own the mineral rights to it, but can we limit who can come in?
Yes. Main reason is it's a private road getting there, and Deer Springs Ranch controls that road, and we can keep anybody from getting gravel out of that pit.
See, the indication to me was that he could do it if he wanted to. So that was the question to me. Can I refuse to let him come in?
So
that, yes.
Isn't the pit?
Dale is correct. So mineral rights, just because you have a GLM permit for mineral rights doesn't allow you to go on private property for mineral rights.
Well, that was my thinking.
Right. So you're correct, most of the minerals, most private lands here are still owned by either the state or the federal government, right? And
yeah.
So just because you go to the BLM and get a permit doesn't allow you to go on private property.
Yeah.
You would have to actually apply to the state or whomever to get access to that private land. Then there'd be this whole notification, yeah, litigation process. Hasn't been done, obviously, you'd be aware of it. So, no, if anything, yeah, if we're going to let private people use it, we should charge them.
Well, I see, and that was my thinking on it, but this was an argument that was given to me at that time.
So what was the outcome of that?
Well, the outcome is he'd already started using the gravel without permission. Without permission. Now, he didn't take the gravel away. He did use it on a lot here, but I didn't know him.
So he was a member?
No, he was not a member.
Not a member.
Is somebody contracted by a member to put...
A member contracted, it's like North Church doesn't own property out here, right, but I hire him to do work here. And so you, any of you can hire whoever you want. It's just that I want them to... First, let Kurt know or me know, and we need to have some rules about how we leave the pit.
Well, can you hire someone that knows what they're doing to pull some gravel down and just have it in a pile so members can go get it safely?
Because we
would have to go with a shovel. We don't have equipment to do that.
I can do that. Here's a... I'm going to get into a fair situation here, okay? We have a certain percentage of people out here that will hire somebody to put gravel on their road. In your case, you want to get some yourself. And but here's the dilemma that I have with it. If they come out here and start undermining the thing and leaving it dangerous there, now it's a danger, okay? But it costs more money to bring out a piece of equipment to rake that down. So, go ahead.
Can't you bring it down with a little...
Huh?
Can you bring it down with dynamite? Bring it down so then it's safe again and usable again?
Well, it can be safe for
a day.
It can be safe for a day, but as soon as they remove it all and it's all undermined again, and we got the same situation.
But would, I mean, is that something that would really be feasible?
No.
That, no?
No.
Dang.
Be cheaper than
whoever's coming out here needs to learn to use the gravel pit right. And she asked the question, could I hire somebody? Yes, I could. Here's the problem. We have 320 lots out here. Okay? Those 320 lots, and I go by lots, not by owner. That lot pays, now it's going to be $500 a year. Okay? Each lot pays $500 a year. Some people own more lots, some... only own one. But that's the way I look at it. My job is to that lot. And so if I got to go hire somebody to pay a lot of money to get a machine out here, it might cost $1,000 to get a machine out here just to have it delivered. And then I got to pay the contractor that's going to pull it down. You are going to use some of that, so you're getting cheap dirt, so to speak. But you, who are not using it, are paying for you to have the right to free dirt. Easy dirt, if you will, to get it in cheaper.
But you do.
That's not fair.
That's other than the BLM fee, you charge
the ranch.
The ranch,
right?
Charge.
We still have to pay the ranch.
So instead of charging the dollar for a yard of gravel, charge $2.
So when I sell it, I charge $8.50.
Not street. I'm just talking pit run.
If we just drove over to the wall and started pulling material off the wall, we have to pay the ranch the same as what we pay the BLM.
You know, if you're going over there to get a trailer full, how much dirt are you? How much dirt are you talking about? You're talking about 100 yards?
Well, that's the easy number because that's the one that's already in the gravel pit policy and the rules and all that stuff that we're allowed to.
If you bring in the right equipment to do it, you're only going to pay the 75 cents plus the 75 cents to the county.
Correct.
If you do it yourself.
Right, but correct. Then it puts impact on that rock cliff. Then you're allowing everybody to go and dig into that rock cliff. What I'm saying is if you hire a professional to pull some rock down so it's just a pile of rocks and safe for Aaron to go get rock.
The problem is that rock doesn't stay there that long. Where are you going to store it all? I had Alan Steed out here, and I had 1,000 yards to give him, and he classified another 1,000 yards to do our roads. So... that pit changes real quick. Right now, if I had 1,000 yards up there, I could use it all up in a day out here just fixing roads that I got now. And so that's all gone. It's all gone, and now the pit's back to where it needs to be pulled down again. Go ahead.
Question. So I understand the problem, the nature of the problem. What's the solution? I mean, solution you've said so far is we all need to do things right and use proper equipment. Well, the problem for us to use proper equipment would be the same problem for you to get equipment out here, right?
Yeah,
so
but you're the one.
We're going to go use our regular, the stuff we have. We're going to fill up with you know, or a little dump trailer or whatever to get some gravel. That's what people are going to do. So how do we make a safe situation there so people can use gravel?
So I think what John's trying to explain is, and I think there's some solution there that needs to come about. But if we pull down, if we hire a track hoe out here to pull down a bunch of gravel, and then somebody hires a contractor and takes all that gravel.
That's my gripe.
What he's saying is somebody hires a contractor, that contractor should have the proper equipment to pull down the rock they need for that individual and not take everything out that's left out for you guys.
He's saying,
but then you're talking about attacking a problem, just like we're doing right now, because this same problem happened a couple of years ago. You're attacking the problem after the fact. Instead of attacking the problem,
somebody used the gravel without pulling down more.
Whoever dug that bowl
should have pulled down more gravel and replaced it.
Should have never left this ranch with their equipment until that was fixed.
That's my point.
That's how it's supposed to work. Now they left. Now we're stuck with this problem that we're now trying to solve. How do we solve this problem now and going forward in the future?
How we're solving that is that. If they're going to use a pit, they're going to have to do that.
Right. So if I came to you and I said, okay, I want to go pull 100 yards out of the pit right now. Mm-hmm. Now I got to hire a track hoe to come out here and pull that hill down at my expense to make that safe.
Sure, you want the dirt.
Because somebody else left it in that condition.
Yeah, sure.
Remember your fair statement. So now it's not fair to me that they did that.
You're going to have a hard time, though, because you'll have a contractor come in and get, 400 yards. Then you'll have somebody come in and get very minimal. So where are you going to target that contractor just because he brought equipment out? Or would it be best if we put a second layer and dig it out, push it out, and then they've got access to push it down more? Instead of get a big track hoe, they could still use their skid steer or whatever and bring it over.
Well, our understanding, when we first addressed gravel years ago.
We could sit here an hour and talk about pickups or whatever. This is a committee job that should be put together so simple. There's other gravel pits. The ranch owns mineral rights on 1,700 acres. And some of those have gravel on them. So there's things that some of you should know, and this should be not taking up everybody's time to decide whether we're driving a Chevy or a Ford.
Well.
But let's decide and come to the board and say, Here's a little written review as to solving the gravel pit.
Well, here, I'm going to try to simplify this. Whoever's using it needs to pull down whatever he took. Okay? And that doesn't matter whether it's a contractor or you yourself. Because if that doesn't happen, and I have to go hire somebody to bring it down, all these people are paying for you to get easy gravel. I say, if you want to use the gravel, you hire the contractor or do it yourself, but pull down what you take. That's my thing on it. Now, you brought that up, and I brought this up last year, and I kind of got a shrug on it. I know we have places on this ranch here that we own the mineral rights to, and we don't have to pay the county. My suggestion was, when I brought this up, is to buy 3 more grizzlies for classifying. And my suggestion was to get to Dale, because I knew that Dale Clarkson knew which ones, where those places were that we could use. And we placed a grizzly at each one of those, because the cost to doing roads around here is not the cost of the gravel. It's the cost of transportation. Case in point, two years ago when I had Alan Steed to come out here, this road here from by the airport of Meadow Canyon going on up, you notice how good that thing is in the last couple of years? I put 6 inches thick of gravel on that. Okay? And it's holding well. But mm-hmm. I sit there and I watch the turnaround. When they were filling the truck and they were classifying and filling the trucks, it was a 14-minute turnaround for each one. For each load. 14 minutes. A load, 12-yard trucks, dump a load. 14 minutes. As we got farther away, when I got down towards the first cattle yard, it was longer. But then I went over to Old Burn Road up there. It was a one-hour turnaround. That means in an eight-hour day, you get eight loads. So my position on this is, why don't we put grizzlies here? And that way, if we're working on that end of the ranch over there, we have a grizzly over there to classify, and we'll haul from there, and we haul short distance. We'll put another one over here and another one wherever. And over the slide area, it might be, very well, might be that cinder mine that you got over there. But it was kind of shrugged off, so I dropped it. But I still think it's a dang good idea.
Well, we're not going to resolve it today, but obviously it needs to be resolved. But I like your idea of, you know, maybe there's two different options. You know, if you have somebody that you know that has the equipment necessary and you can just hire them and have them go do it, great. But as an owner myself, you know, I'd like to have the option of saying, you know, I need 10 yards of gravel and it's going to cost X per yard. And say, and then the other part of it might be, we need to have authorized contractors.
Right.
So, you know, maybe it's Larry Clarkson, maybe it's Brad Pierce, maybe
North
it's,
Church.
You know,
yeah.
North Church. And there are three or four people who the ranch basically authorizes as, you know,
yeah.
contractors that all of the members can use. It's like you can choose between which one of these, you know, four or five contractors you want to use, but, you know, don't hire somebody from Kanab who doesn't know anything about the ranch or what's going on.
Yeah.
But then you're essentially forcing people to hire somebody.
Right.
What if we're you're like
no,
us
I
we're
think,
hands
or
on
you
and
could,
we want to do it? I don't want to hire somebody to do it because I want to
some
do
members
it.
If you
want
to
do it,
money
it's
to hire
simple.
People.
And I agree with
there's
that.
There's already rules in there that says to that's the point I was going to make a little
right.
while ago. Years ago when we first wanted to cut our driveway. It already says in there, you need to check with people to find out where you're supposed to get the material from.
Yep.
So somebody is supposed to point you to, hey, you're pulling 30 yards of gravel, pull it from right here, and this is how it needs to be left when you're done. If that doesn't happen, you now get charged to fix it, right? So if we allow somebody to dig a big bowl in the thing, and then we allow them to leave... Now they need to be back charged to fix the damage that was caused. You know what I'm saying?
The issue is control. I mean, the issue is control. How do you control something that's out in the middle of nowhere?
Here's the thing on that. We are using a lot more gravel than we ever have in the past because we got more people out here that are building.
Mm-hmm.
People in the past didn't really build so much. They mostly come out here for fun and they use the cabins for the most part. But now we got people who are building and putting real investments in their property. And that I'm happy with. I like to see that. So the gravel pit is getting a lot more use. And we never really had this problem before until here recently. And that's why I talked to the... I sent an email to the board here a couple of weeks ago when we first had this. I was frustrated because I had a gravel pit that I couldn't use with our backhoe. And I had all these washouts and they needed to get gravel out here. So I was very frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And... PO'd. And so when I get PO'd, I say things that hurt. You know,
it is what it is.
It is what it is. And but that's a flaw in my personality.
Dan Work had a question.
Dan Work?
Yeah.
Maybe the
beginning of the solution could be for the ranch to pull down this dangerous bowl on a one-time basis. And then from then on, it's the responsibility of whatever contractor is being used.
That's what we're going to have to do.
To leave it in an acceptable condition. That would solve the problem of Jeff, you not having to pay for somebody else's problem.
Correct.
So that would be a one-time ranch expense.
And you know and I've kind of been waiting to bring anything up till Larry gets back because he's definitely involved in this. But the pit needs to be reorganized, and there should be an area that has gravel pulled off the hill and market residents only, so that way people know where to go, and that's for people to load up their pickups or their trailers or whatever, and contractors have to pull it from somewhere else. They got to pull it down themselves or something. But you know, there's no reason why we can't have an area that says residents only, and Jeff and Tina can go over there and get their gravel and be on their way, and
with
Kevin
limits,
and everybody
right?
else.
Because, well, sure, of, yeah. because it would only be so big.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
So
no danger.
Yards a year anyway. So
yeah.
You would, if you pulled down 3,000 yards, that's plenty. You're going to have.
Yeah, you're
right.
Going to have.
So if you limit people to 10 yards of material from the resident only pile for fixing our roads or things like that, not creating a driveway, that would require mass amounts of material.
Right. Personally, right. I do not care if you're just hauling some trailer loads out. I don't even see why you would have to pay for it, other than it might be a legal thing with the BLM. But building roads is a different story. If you want to make a road and you want to use 100 yards, which is currently your limit per year,
right?
Then it needs to be either by a contractor, or you need to consider yourself your own contractor. Go ahead.
Mariah's got a question. Mariah comes
saying?
First.
Huh? Oh, is there somebody behind?
Yeah. I was just going to say, I don't think that I personally have not known there were more options for a gravel pit. So if there are another options, I would just like to recommend that we take one gravel pit, make it our contract roads gravel pit. Take another gravel pit, let's pull it down, make it accessible for the members, and let's hire a contractor to come out quarterly, pull it down, provide it, and we charge $2, whatever it is, we charge more, and we have a maintenance schedule that it's there, and it'll be taken care of quarterly, and it's accessible to the members, and separate the pits.
That's
exactly
that's
a good idea, too. What was your name?
With your words.
Go ahead.
Well, if you do what she says, then my point is moot. But what I was going to say is, say you have in one weekend or the space of a week, 20 people come get their 100 yards. Then you got a giant hole again.
Yeah, I know.
And basically, you didn't break any rules.
That's why I say that
I like her idea.
You rake it down if you're going to use that.
Just put it in as part of the road expense.
You leave the pit safe.
You know, well, like seasonally, you take care of business.
But you know, this is me.
Yeah.
You guys decide. I'm only telling you my problems that I have, because I'm responsible for that pit, and I'm responsible for the roads.
Well, I think what Dale said is accurate. When Larry gets back, you know, Larry, Kurt, John, whoever wants to be involved, we need to put together a plan. You know, let's solve the problem permanently. You know, so
like that.
You know, and I like the idea of members being able to go. I'd love to go, you know, load up my own trailer. You know,
yeah,
and
we needed gravel and we couldn't go because there's not usable gravel.
Well, you know.
Yeah, everything is just too
unsafe
right now.
If it was maintained as you go, each contractor may leave it the way it's supposed to be, the way it was when he came, then it would be easy for somebody to come out there and back a trailer and go.
My 2 cents, contractor violates how he's supposed to work, they're done.
Can I comment here on the gravel pit, please?
Well, I agree with that. Oh, hang on, Bert. Let's go back to the conference call. First of all, let me get a roll call of the individuals who are on the conference call. Please give your name and your lot number.
Mike Jordan.
Mike Jordanson.
Hey, this is Kelsey.
That's not
Kelsey. Yeah,
that's
Kelsey.
Not a
Kelsey.
Kelsey Butcher.
Yep, this is Kelsey and Cal Butcher, lot 277.
Thanks, Kelsey.
You're welcome.
Anybody else on the conference call?
Larry, are you there?
Hey, Clark.
Larry is there. Okay.
I'm going to shovel here.
How's the fishing?
Great.
Okay, so comments from the conference call. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Michael Jordan. The rules, the gravel pit policy is out there. And they had to apply for the permit and pay for it at the beginning of the summer, who dug that out. And if I recall, the rules state that the lot owner is responsible to pay for any damage left. And I don't think I trusted the association to pay for that. The lot owners hired somebody, and they left it trashed. The lot owner needs to cover that cost.
So maybe we need a sign-in sheet. I'm going to go get gravel for this lot.
Yeah,
you're right, we do.
John, do we know who caused the damage?
Also,
definitively?
It's the last meeting.
Okay.
Where there needs to be a verifier.
It's never just one.
Somebody verify when they start.
If somebody wants to go out there and get 20, 30, 50 yards of gravel, and gravel's easy to get, they'll just get it. The problem of it is by the time that happens several times, now the pit's in a mess. So it isn't just one person.
So what we need to do...
It's a combination of whoever's getting it, including ourselves, right. With the backhoe. Right. If the gravel is removed, it's removed. And we have a hole. And that's what we got right now, is a hole. And I just want to have a law, a rule. We haven't had any rules such as that. That was my big gripe thing now. I said, what are my options? I want the board to tell me what I can do. Can I refuse to let somebody use it? Can I run people off who say they have a permit?
Well, like you said before, we haven't had this problem in the past, so we need to solve it now.
We have it now, and it's here and now, and it happened to come to a head when we had a little catastrophe here with rain, and we need it. We need the gravel right now. We don't have it. I've already told Kurt to go ahead and pick up some from Robinson, but now Dale says it. Just threw in a deal here, so. But I'm going to have to go to Robinson's and pay for more money if I get it over there and haul it ourselves than to classify it ourselves, because we can't classify it because the pit is not safe for the equipment we have at hand.
Got a question over here.
Can't the board just write up a policy on the gravel pit, and that's the way it is?
That's what I've been hitting on all day.
There is one. It's just not being enforced.
No, there hasn't been one that's not been enforced.
No, there's a whole gravel pit policy.
You identified the problem already, right? The whole family, yeah. As you said, it's this cumulative impact, yes. Right? There is one, death by 1,000 paper cuts, whatever you want to call it, right? And that's what's happening. And we just have to have, I think Mariah's idea is probably the best one right now. So.
By a grizzly.
Question,
Jeff.
Mike, can you hear me?
Larry, go ahead. Yeah, I hear. Larry's on the conference call. Go ahead, Larry.
Part of the problem that many do not understand is using bank run gravel from our pit by use of a grizzly or a screen, we only use 20% by volume of whatever you pull off the hill. That leaves 80% by volume of waste or leftover rock in the way. So that's one thing that we have to deal with. That's why, personally, I have invested a couple hundred thousand dollars in crushing equipment that I still intend to put in use to use 100% of the material instead of 20% of the material. There's very few places in that pit or any pit that Joe homeowner can pull up in a Kubota tractor or a skid steer and scoop up gravel and put it in their pickup truck and go use it. You're going to have to deal with that 80% of waste rock, the oversized rock, the overburden. And so we're talking about 20 different little problems that don't really have anything to do with the base problem. The problem with the pit now exists because of two or three different seasons of proper pit use, proper screening use, but massive amounts of overburden and all the coal rock, big rock. So I started a process to grind that up, but in doing the RV pads this summer, Brent, Kurt, and a few others know that I ended up blowing the big engine on my rock chewing machine. But there needs to be, not just for providing members some rock that they can use, road base to use at their lot, we need to reorganize the pit just because of a safety factor. We can't have our traffic pattern going right through the middle of a safe or unsafe gravel pit. Even if it's brought down to the right angle and we maintain it at the right angle, having tractors backing up into traffic, trucks back and forth, and traffic running through it, and a caravan of 15 ATVs coming around the corner, what we have now needs to change. And I have in my mind some of the things that need to be done. John has in his mind some of the things that need to be done. And I think that the usable material can be provided for members at a much cheaper price if they want to just pull up and load their own truck and haul it off. But it's never going to be just free.
I think all the members are willing to pay for it. We just have to figure out how to make that happen.
Which is why I want to wait till Larry gets back. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's agree that we need to have a committee to figure this out. We don't need to have everybody involved. So the committee is going to be Larry and Kurt and John. And any other volunteers that want to help out?
Engineer, I'll help.
All right, okay. We got an engineer.
That works.
That's enough. Five.
I'm going to volunteer Randy.
Where is Randy?
He's working.
if not, then since he has this construction company and he's worked a lot with roads, I think he would be really an asset.
Awesome.
Sounds good. That's half a dozen great people.
Yeah.
One other quick point, Mike. The idea that John talked about years ago of multiple screens and multiple pits, it is a good idea, but it also creates other problems. The mineral rights that Deer Springs owns are in locations where some of it is not good material, others is good material, but do we want, as a ranch, to have an open pit along Meadow Canyon, you know, halfway up to the fish ponds? It would be nice if our minerals were located in a little hidden spot where it was out of sight, out of mind, but easy access. Unfortunately, we can't have the best of all the worlds. And so sometimes trucking material 3 miles is much better than trucking material 15 miles for sure. I've studied that extensively to know where is material, what's available, how do we work with the government, the federal government, on their minerals or on our privately owned minerals. I have a fear or feeling that if we decide to open up a new pit in Broad Hollow, who is that going to benefit and who is that going to aggravate? If we open up a new pit over in Pipeline Canyon or a new pit in Crawford Canyon, who is that going to benefit and who is that going to aggravate? We already have a very viable pit, and yes, our growing pains are becoming greater and greater, but it's all resolvable if we spend some time and think about it and talk about it and make it work.
Agreed, and you will be an important part of that.
I just want to make a comment.
I'll be back in 2 weeks.
When are you coming back, Larry?
2 weeks.
September.
Got it. Thank you.
I thought that maybe we could get some portable sections of fence and fence off the gravel that's been processed, and the only way to get in there is with having the lock, and they have to come down to Kurt, get the lock to go up and access the gravel that's been processed. And that's kind of a hassle.
Well, the problem is, what if Kurt's working up in Crawford or Work's working over here, and there's no...
Maybe
there's
we
no
do
Kurt.
We
yeah,
do
yeah.
the same thing we do. For
or
Jay
I guess
Statham.
I'll get a radio eventually.
We get a combination lock, and only people that are authorized get the combination.
Yeah, that's...
I want to add... Well, I got to add something to that. I do not personally want to see us processing gravel for anybody, raking it down, but processing it, screening it, and having it here for sale. Where are we going to store it? Where are we going to store that stuff? And we put a fence around it to keep people from getting it and what have you. We have to have a place. We can't store it there. We've already got a lot of overburden there.
Well, that's what Larry just said.
Yeah,
he said we need to figure out the place.
I paid Norris Church here a few years ago a lot of money to remove all that overburden. You notice how wide that road is there? It wasn't that wide at one time. He widened it all out there. I paid him to go over the mountain and clean it up and make it look good. That's what that fee that we're paying to the ranch here, that 75 cents, we have to reclaim that hill after we're done. But I do not like the idea of us selling processed stuff. I'm good with pulling it down and having it down where people can use it. That's okay if it's what everybody wants. But as far as screening it and having it here, I can't even get enough screen for my use here on the roads. So if anybody's got a better idea, fine. Then somebody needs to be able to hire somebody to do that and get it done and get it stored and maintain it. I'm not down here all the time for somebody. Kurt is not available. Anyway,
I
want to shut up because I've already said too much.
Problem.
Huh?
I think if the ranch processed material for members to be able to use at a reasonable cost, I think it'll be constantly empty. I don't think you're going to have huge piles of gravel.
Well, I offered it to you when you first year you came here, and you thought I was too high.
Correct.
No.
It was
higher. You know what? I'm having Kurt to go pick some up at a pit over here that we're paying more for it, and we're hauling it all the way from Robinson pit up to here.
Yeah. I don't know what it is now at Robinson's. When we were coming out here first, it was $6 a yard at Robinson's.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I bought some, put on my own place from Robinson, and I had to pay $10 for it. And that was before you came.
I don't know.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. Come on. Let's move on. Okay.
Next. I've got a lady here who needs to get back to work.
Yes.
And I just wanted to take a moment to introduce the staff.
out. She's been working at them here for about 9 years. If you've had a second cabin, she's why. And I just wanted to thank you very much for coming on out. And thank all of you for making yourself welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, she's a rock star.
Okay, next item on the agenda, annual meeting assignments. And our annual meeting's a month away, everybody knows. And all I'm saying is somebody else needs to take it over from here because I have no clue.
No,
she said she's bowing up.
Well, she can help. Okay.
I'll help when I can. Are you going to be our auctioneer still?
Yeah.
Okay, Joan's the auctioneer.
Have we got anything to auction yet?
Yes. We will, yes, for sure.
Yeah.
And where do donations go? That's a good idea, actually.
Sorry.
Scream Gravel, yeah.
Start out the auction on paper, so then when you pick up the item, say, okay, the last bid was this. And that way it'll help move it along a little more, maybe. If we start with a paper bid, and then it can go from there when you're auctioning.
Yeah, instead of starting at zero.
I don't care how we do it. It's just, I still get lost in the auction myself.
Do you think because Sunshine directs you just fine?
Huh?
Sunshine directs you just fine.
Do you think we could send out an email or something to let people know so that they can maybe put something together for the auction?
Yes, it's on all the documentation coming in your packet, and it'll come in an email right before.
Perfect.
So it's already on the way.
It's already on the way.
Does the documentation say where, who to contact to make donations?
Because
or?
We usually haven't decided that by this time, so my email's on everything. Oh, you can contact me, but most members just show up, and registration is at 10:30.
Okay.
She ends up using moving chairs.
So whatever you are donating, just show up early so it can get put out on the tables.
Yep. Okay, Kurt, you're going to do the meal? Are you doing a
well,
meal?
Now, last year I did the smoker and cowboy beans, and what else did I do? I think there's a potluck after that.
Yeah. And then everybody does the potluck. Okay.
Yeah, we'll do all the potluck, and then I'll do the smoked pork and the beans. That was the pulled pork.
Yeah.
And I'll do the cowboy beans, and then I'll talk to Norris Church because he did the cowboy potatoes last year. I'll just try to ask him to get them done on time this year.
Norris,
not dessert.
Good luck.
Yeah, I know, right?
We'll bring our tent out that morning early enough because it takes a while to put up. But we need hands to actually put it up. We can, at least 5 feet.
Did we end up using it last year?
No, but we absolutely.
No, you said it was too flimsy.
Yeah.
Too hot out.
It was windy, huh?
Absolutely. Too hot. The wind.
Yeah.
And the food should go under the food. Or
no.
It's a 10 by 30.
It's like a wedding. It's like a big wedding tent.
For the food?
Yeah. For whatever.
Do we have entertainment?
We're working on the entertainment. John Stone is unavailable this year. And Mesozoic, I was going to give Scott a call, and because he has, some of those guys just have a little duo that they do, and I'm going to see if they can come out and do it.
Byron has a question.
Byron?
On the election, we've got people that are running for re-election, and we know what they've done, what they've accomplished. I think we've got some new people coming on. How do we know what their plans are? What do they want to do? And why do they want on the board? How do we know what they should?
Well, before the voting, we have a meet the candidates session, and everybody gets up and talks a little bit about what their thoughts are.
I think we should have a questionnaire.
That's already in your mailbox. We've done a meet the candidates paragraph, and everyone has filled those out. And so you'll be getting in your packet a meet the candidates with all their information. And then, yes, in your packet also is an agenda that will show when we'll have that time. You can hear from each of them. Right on. May I recommend we need help with decorations, right, Candy? What else do we need set up-wise?
When do you think we can get all that stuff out?
I can have the decorations here at 9:30 if we can put together a committee of 7 that we need to set up decorations, tables, and anything else.
And tents.
Does that sound about right? 7 people? I can have it here by 9:30.
Okay, we're asking for volunteers for 9:30.
Are you going to be doing it?
I'll help you.
Oh, no, I'm not volunteering for charge. I just want to help.
Yeah, that's all we need. We just need help. The decorations are in bins. They just need to be set out. The tables need to be wiped off and set out. We need the tents set up. We need food tables set out. So we're not asking for anyone to be in charge.
So, Mariah, you keep the list. We are asking for volunteers. I volunteer.
I got a list. Thank you.
I volunteer.
Okay, hold
with
on.
Whatever
Karen,
we
Gina,
gotta do.
Karen, Gina, Cindy.
Kathy, Cindy. Who else
Candy.
Do we have?
Candy.
I'm going to be busy.
Cammy.
And I want to be a vote.
You're putting up the tent.
It's okay. Kurt.
Kurt's got enough to do.
Kurt's going to be busy.
I got to just be thinking about all my life.
Do we have enough?
I think us women are highly capable, but do we need some men for the tent?
Yes. Yeah. Well, we got Mike. He counts.
Joe.
Mike, yes.
No,
I've got Mike. Yes,
me.
Sorry, Mike,
Joe. It's a pain
Joe,
in the butt, but
you.
It's not yeah. hard. Like,
Joe will be here.
We just her tent.
I'm sleeping in.
Jeff
Mike, Joe, we have Mike, Joe, Jeff.
I'll be wherever she says I'll
and
be.
And Kevin.
Jeff will do the high part of the tent.
Roger. Yes. Roger. Roger. Why did I say Kevin? I'm so sorry, Roger. I knew it was Roger. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and then the potluck information is in the mailing, right?
In the mailing. So okay. Bring a potluck and something to serve with is very important.
Right.
As well.
Okay, any other questions about the annual meeting? Anything else we need to talk about now? No. Okay, moving on. Member directory discussion is on the agenda. Jennifer Scherer. Jennifer here? There she is. So, why don't you, just for everybody's benefit, tell everybody what your suggestion is.
It just feels like we're building more of a community here, and there's a lot of new people coming in, and it's fun to be at these meetings. Not everybody can be at these meetings. Not everybody can put a face with a name. We've got our Facebook group. That helps you at least recognize someone. But I thought about a member directory, and I understand there's issues with putting something together that gets printed and mailed. That's costly, and it's actually ineffective. It should be something digital, I think. And if it's digital and could be a plug-in with the website that's being created, even better, because you could create an avatar. You can put a picture of your lot number. You can put a picture of you, your family, whatever, just to kind of create a feeling of community. And I think that's what we're really trying to do. So I think the time has come to actually have an official lot directory beyond just the one that hovers over lot numbers that's on the current website. That's just, you know, county information and written words and numbers. So that's my suggestion.
That's a
comment?
Great idea.
I like it.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
And I think if, you know, if anybody has concerns about, oh, but my privacy, I'm already getting stuff from certain people here on the ranch about, you know, whatever their agenda is or whatever. So it's like somebody already has that information. I'm okay with other members knowing who I am and having that information that, you know, it's already not private is what I'm saying.
So, and if somebody doesn't want to be on it, they don't have to be on it, right?
That's what I was going to say, is that individual lot owners should have the right to opt out.
Sure. I mean, public information. You can get the owner information on the county website or from that hover tool on our current website.
Yeah.
It's just the personal stuff that I think people can opt in for.
Right.
Yeah. Or the degree of information you give. Sure. You may want to not put your phone number in there, but email is fine.
Right. That's exactly. Candy?
I had a comment. If general consensus is an agreement that we build our community, I think the board should be ready for the annual meeting as a start and push off in terms of have some papers so that if people want to fill this out, we can actually have that information, take it, and then input it as we develop this member.
Is that every year anyway, to update our information for contact information?
Well, this would be specific for the directory. If you're interested, because it usually helps Mariah when she has updated emails and this and that. But if they know that they're updating it not just for that means, but also for the fact that you are saying, yes, I agree with
online directory. Yeah.
Or I should say a member directory. And I think that should be something that is on the annual meeting agenda so that people know what you're doing.
Regularly, I send out, actually with every mailing, I send out, and you'll get one in the same packet, a yellow slip of paper or a purple slip of paper that allows you to update your information. It would be very easy to include a checkbox, are you willing to participate, you know, and to do that. And that just goes out all the time. So we're regularly having the chance to update it. Does that sound like it would coincide well with what you're thinking?
Yeah, I think so. And I also, depending on this website being developed, I think that there's probably an automated way as well. Once that website gets a user base and people are familiar with it, I mean, we can promote it on the Facebook group as well. Obviously, those that are in the Facebook group are feeling social and willing to be identified. But definitely something more electronic than slips of paper.
I wonder if we could put the camera on there like you got.
Some cases it's only via these mailings annually.
But
I think it really just would be engaged in a digital user directory.
Would we need
someone that would work with a particular directory? So you get, we need to have someone in charge.
Every time a car goes through there,
our webmaster would be doing that.
Whoever that winds up being.
Right.
Not me.
Right? Now, I wasn't looking at you. There's somebody behind you, Vance.
Wait. Vance is saying something I've never heard before that we all need to hear.
And it's been a few years, and anybody else who's willing to take it on is welcome to the huge security problem it becomes. Because that's what always happens.
What?
In what way?
Exploits get injected through people responding to things.
Exploits.
Our homepage got hijacked. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
So it's more than it sounds. It's not easy. Automated always opens you up to automated exploits.
So then maybe so just
it's,
do it on
it's a very hands-on thing, which is fine for somebody that has the time to do it. So, have at it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Dan Wirt, years ago, a gentleman sitting next to Vance, actually put together a little handbook directory. And I found it very helpful in the beginning, but there are so many changes there.
Right.
And I don't know what kind of price he had to put out to do that. But we have had a handheld one by Dan Wirt.
Yeah. I can't hack that one.
No,
it was appreciated and disappreciated.
Yeah.
Well, by the same people that are giving Jennifer the idea, well, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. But by now it's antiquarian, and
yeah,
you know,
that doesn't. Yeah.
It's
expensive to keep up.
It's a collectible on Fleabag.
I feel like an owner's group behind a firewall, a login. And I don't know much about our website as it is, but
would it be possible? My wife goes on the Facebook Dear Friend Grant's Facebook thing. I have a Facebook account because my kid set one up for me, but I never use it. But would it be possible to maybe expand on what we already have with the Facebook user group for people who want to participate? Because then it wouldn't be part of our website. It would be separate.
Well, people take people trust it
should be hauled really this way. Yeah, because it's hauled this way.
I've never used Facebook. Because my computers get used for business. And the same security issue applies. Facebook is a kind of a cesspool that way. But if you put it on the website, people will trust it more, and they won't have to be a Facebook user to use it. So it's possible, but it's...
Maybe there's a lot of ways to execute.
It would require a lot of work. But the website's being redone. This is the time to do it.
Yep, agreed.
Dale?
Same thing. I think I have 3 or 4 membership books that we've printed over the years, it's kind of fun to see what whose name was on it in 1940 or, you know, 1940.
How about 1976?
Does history change? So what? It could be reprinted every 5 years, and it could be very interesting.
So your recommendation would be do a hard copy printed something.
I think so.
You can do both.
He's got something to say.
Right. You haven't given him a floor.
You haven't even given him a floor.
Stuff that's on the website, print it up. More or less.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of us disclosing somebody's privacy. It's already on the county website.
Right.
It just needs to be the purvey of somebody whose job it is.
Hey, be nice to my geese.
Handle anything and everything that might
you want
happen
to stay
to the
that
website
way.
Instead of just me doing a little, Mariah does a little. We do what we can when we can.
Right.
It needs to be
somebody
needs to be paid to do it. Is what it amounts to.
Gotcha.
And
so
it
we're,
becomes their job.
And we're creating a new website, and we're going to have a new website administrator that won't be you.
Yep.
So you're just suggesting that we could do that as part of the website as long as whoever's responsible for it knows what they're doing in terms of protecting it and maintaining it.
And follow their lead as to what's possible and what's not within the realm of somebody being either a part-time employee and what you're willing to pay.
And,
Well, the board earlier today decided that we need to pay to have a website administrator to manage that process.
Excellent. You guys made a good decision.
Okay.
It's becoming more interesting to try to deal with cyberspace. Let's just put it that way. Which is why we paid for and are getting our money's worth out of GoDaddy for all the extra security we've got.
Yeah.
But it's still a whack-a-mole. I mean, stuff just going on. Crazy.
You're
crazy, crazy weird out
you're
there.
Vulnerable. You're breathing.
Uh-oh. Mike, I was wondering, we've talked about our annual meeting. I think this is our annual business meeting. And I would like, you know, we're talking about entertainment, and all of us want the food, and all of us want some of the other things. The auction takes quite a bit of time, that's fine. I would really like to see some hardcore business at our annual business meeting. And maybe there's nothing like that on the agenda, but as the president, I'd like to see some business discussed at the annual meeting.
We usually put, and correct me if I'm wrong, board, I've only been here a bit, but we usually put the business, because that's the election day, and there may be new seats on the board, and then that would probably be better in October while the new board members are getting their feet wet.
We do offer a forum that's an open forum for members to express, you know, thoughts and things they'd like to have, especially since we are hosting members we don't usually see.
Right.
And we have that following the luncheon. That's
right.
Always been available.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's
okay.
True.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the part of the business discussed when everybody's here. That's why they come as members. And
are there specific topics, Dale, that you would recommend in terms of the...
Yeah, I think there's several. Is it our annual business meeting, or is it a free lunch?
Well,
what
election.
Do we need to discuss?
Yeah, elections.
I've always thought it was the primary goal was for the elections. And the other stuff is just kind of, ancillary. But, I mean, if we have everybody together, then I agree. If there are things we could talk about, why not?
I just think there are a lot of corporate meetings. And all of us have gone to corporate meetings for years. Is this a corporate meeting? And if it is, we should have some very, very interesting topics to deal with.
Well, I think the annual meeting, most people come just to meet more members, do the elections, have the lunch.
And then everybody leaves.
And then they don't care about all the politics.
Right.
Just look at that how many people are
the people that are interested in the workings are here.
And this
is
a good turnout.
Yeah, this is a good
turnout. This is the most I get involved.
What suggestions do you have if there are one or two agenda items that you think should be part of this business of what's presented to the members? Do you have something in mind, Dale? Evidently you do.
I certainly do. No, I get the feeling that the group do not want to necessarily address business.
No, they talk about how much money is spent at in cabins, how much is in road, what does the budget allow us to do. There are those discussions. So I don't know. I like I said, I think you have something specific that if that's something the board wants to address, well, let's hear them. Because I think it's important, Dale. Because you think it's important.
Well, I'd rather probably just visit with Mike and see what he wants as the president, putting together the agenda.
Well, if they're, yeah, I mean, if they're specific, I mean, are you talking about what, like what we're talking about today? What's going on with the roads? What's going on with the finances?
No. With just kind of comically, Deer Springs Ranch involves lots and lots of things. At this particular meeting, 75% of it has been on the garbage or the gravel pit. There are a lot of things on the ranch other than the gravel pit. And yet, just look at the time that all of us have spent, and I'm not trying to be critical of anybody, but take the agenda that we have today and the time. There are beautiful programs as we organize the ranch to accommodate families as a family playground. Most of them could not give a hoot about our discussion for an hour on gravel.
Right, that's why the annual meeting is more of a social gathering and not all those more important subjects.
That's what you want, is a social gathering.
But remember, there are areas that each one of the board members is in charge of, whether it's Crawford, Podunk, presentation is made. Number two, every area that a person is in charge of has a presentation. For instance, Joe is cabin maintenance in on the upper cabins, 1, 2, 3, 4. He always gives a presentation of what's been done, what we think we'd like to have presented. He's always made a board with the pictures that everything has been done and captions what we've done. He's in charge of all of the maintenance for the trucks and stuff. He tells how things are going, what it looks like, how that then fits in the budget as to how much money we pay. Those are finances, roads, everything that we do on the ranch is presented. And each person gets up there and talks about it for location as well as what you're in charge of. So I think, personally, that does a lot of fill in the blanks. And it also is a time when if someone has another question, they can ask those individuals in charge of that. But I think that's very important to be done. But I think a lot of that is covered unless you have something specific that you're looking at. Jeff?
Well, we don't ever discuss what's going to happen in the future. For example, we have water rights that are not being used. We have an opportunity down here
where every time it rains, the water comes off of all these washes, comes down through here, and goes straight out onto the neighbor's ranch. It's our water. We're letting it just go down and out. We could do something, but it's never discussed. Yeah, we just need to
bring it up.
Yeah, you just brought it up to me.
Because when you bring it up, it then becomes a topic on the agenda, correct?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But like, what do you
my
propose?
Point is, retention pond?
It would be a retention pond. Just like we have up at the upper cabins, we have retention ponds that we use for trout fishing. Down here, the water runs off the ranch, and then what does Kurt have to do? Haul water down to Deer Springs Point.
Well, Kurt's working, and this is not been discussed. I brought it up at other meetings, and I spoke with Alan Bates about it, who's our BLM representative, and I'm working with them, and he's trying to get us a sump pump down there to, and a tank up on top of the hill to fill it so it'll take water out to Deer Spring Point. But the government is a slow-moving process, and I just barely started working on it with him last late fall, about November.
A sump pump to pump from where?
From the spring down here up to a tank up there so water goes out to the other side.
He's talking about
catching water. I'm talking about surface water.
But that's catching water here isn't going to take water out to Deer Springs Point. We still have to have water out there. That's a different area. And the thing that we're trying to do is get water to the top of that hill and gravity feed it out there so I don't have to haul water.
Which spring are you gathering from?
Well, there's five of them.
I thought about putting a detention center down there for catching water also. But just a while back, you were only allowed to catch 1,000 gallons of rainwater. So if you can only catch 1,000 gallons of rainwater, is the county going to let you catch all this water going down the river? Or are you going to need a permit for that?
It's not the county, it would be the state.
Or the state, well, some government agency.
Yes.
I'm sure you can't just build it without permission.
You fill out an application, they come and investigate, and they say, yes, you can do it. If it's an earthen dam, they really don't care.
Okay.
If it's more concrete and structure and stuff, they're going to want to be involved. But if it's just go down with a backhoe or dozer and make an earthen dam to retain some of the runoff.
Because I know, you can only catch so much rainwater and then they stop
well,
you.
Rainwater and those other water rights are different rights. And if it's the acre footage...
Well, it's the rainwater going down, though, that we're talking about.
Surface water and rainwater are treated separately. And an earthen dam, I think it's, what, 17 acre feet is your metric for when you have to start being regulated and are managed by the state. So,
well, and then does an impact studies have to be done? Yeah. If you dam up the water, what is that going to do to the earth behind it?
But
a Deer Springs dam would be cool.
Have any of you been here? The committee discussion, I think, that we could come up, we could look at it. I mean, if this is something that could be discussed at the annual meeting so the members start to think about it, and decide what their stand is so they can support it or not support it. But if it's never mentioned, then we never have anybody making decisions, and so we stand by and say, oh, it'll be nice to do that. But it will cost money, and there will be maintenance requirements for it, and is the bang worth the buck.
And it will get wiped out every few years. Have you ever seen what happens down here when it rains?
I have some video from when Paul Brayton was a manager. That sucker was 15 feet deep wall to wall for about half an hour. You can't build an impound that can deal with that. Yeah. I had the same thing happen over here. Speaking of which, flood-related item. Anybody missing some 18-inch culvert pieces about 8 feet long? They are all piled up against my 248-inch culverts.
Well, they're abandoned. I'll take them.
They must be. Is Shana and Marco here?
Yeah, they're here. I'll go check on.
That's probably theirs.
Yeah.
But they're I was going to winch them out. But anyway.
Are they plastic?
They're 18-inch corrugated.
It could be
long.
The guy on 144, too. Because he was
could
doing
be anybody
a
stream of.
No, they'd have gone through Marco's fence.
Which is why I used
48
inch, two of them, yeah. Because nothing else deals with it.
He's got his third culvert is completely buried. Marco's is,
yeah,
and it's only about that.
Well, I'm going to winch him out. I'll see if he's around.
Yeah,
but it's not an easy thing. Yeah. And then there's people downstream who may have, and somebody will know, senior water rights to us. In which case, we can only do so much with that water.
Yeah. Well, when I first got here, Brent and I were talking about building a dam across there to catch bikinis, but we were worried about Johnson's water rights.
There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
So I mean, it would be an application process, and they would protest because they have senior water rights, and then it would either be upheld or not upheld by the state engineer. I mean, you can't. We have to figure out if it's something we want to do, and then we go through the process. And if it gets approved at the state level, it gets approved, and they have options to fight it, as everybody does. You know. So it's just, do we want to do it? And we have to think about what's
going to cost money
and
attorney fees.
And some of that we've been through during the last 30 years already.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
How bad do you
That's why having Jim, that
Dale's
history is so
of,
important.
Dale's done a lot of the legwork on the issues.
Right.
A lot of these things have already been
right.
dealt with. The state engineer and
other things. So.
But I don't think that's what Dale's talking about. Bringing up at the next meeting. Something like that. I think it would be good. I agree with him. There's rumors going around on different things going around, and I think it would be a good time to bring the rumors out. Is it a rumor? Is it a fact? Well, I agree with Dale. The next meeting is a good meeting to bring that up.
What's wrong with this one? We're here now. What rumor?
But he's just saying with everybody.
It's not on the agenda. We don't want to set a precedence.
It seems to me we have a process. If you have an idea or if you have something that you want the board to pay attention to, I got to be honest, I've been really excited being on this board. I've been really happy with how we work together and how we're starting to address issues that have been floating around for a long time. If you have ideas, if you have something you want to address, bring it to a board member. I don't know of any issues that have been brought to the board that we've just said, we don't want to deal with that. And, you know, unless there was a legitimate reason to say, okay, we can't deal with that. But almost everything that I know of that's been brought to the board to be addressed has been addressed, has been reported on at these meetings. And to just blindside us at a meeting and say, well, you're not doing this and you're not doing that, it's like, that's
That's not
that's
even
right. That's
fair.
The first time I've heard this.
Dale, if you and Jeff have specific ideas for the agenda for the annual meeting, just shoot me an email.
Let me address hers.
Okay.
I introduced a month ago with four or five different words, and I've understood that it was explosive and a lot of conversation going on, and some said we'll talk about it at the August meeting. No one has contacted me, and no one has wanted to talk about it at this meeting. There's a follow-through on the three or four words that I spoke a month ago.
Well, Dale, we're not there yet. So when I had my comments, I was going to address that.
I talked about your phone call.
We're not there yet, but that's actually next. So all right. So we're done with the member directory discussion.
Okay.
So now we're on to number 9, brief report, areas of responsibilities by each member, just a couple things. I wanted to mention there is going to be the Western Legends wagon train coming to the ranch again this year. That's coming up. John, do you want to?
Yeah, they will.
Yes.
Monday the 23rd, they will be coming some here late in the afternoon to set up on the 22nd. That will be a Sunday.
At the pond,
okay. They're setting up at the ponds. But at 9 o'clock sharp, they're going to be headed, going up, and there'll be some wagons at the top of the pinks up there by the restroom. And they'll be bringing the covered wagons and other wagons and horses, and they'll be coming down around the long way around the pinks. And come back down, and they'll be coming back down to the ranch. Now, they have paying people that pay quite a bit of money, some of them, to ride the wagons and ride their horses and what have you. But members on the ranch here are free to take a ride on the wagon for free. And they'll be coming right down through the ranch. And they'll end up at the ponds, and at the ponds there'll be a barbecue in the evening, and there'll be cowboy music and cowboy poetry, and you may go there and join those festivities.
And it's really a neat experience to go there.
But they charge for the barbecue.
Huh?
But they charge for the barbecue.
Yes.
It's a concessionaire, isn't it?
It's a concessionaire that's supplying the barbecue. So I can't speak of that. I've seen them.
So you get a free wagon ride, but you don't get a free meal.
I've seen, but I have actually seen them give away a lot of free meals. I have seen them do that.
Only if they like you.
Well, they don't like me. They like my wife. She's prettier. Okay, so just wanted to let everybody know that that's happening. And if you want to participate, you need more details, talk to John because he's got all the details. If you don't want to be there that early, that next morning, they'll be riding. They'll have lunch here so you can ride from the ponds down to here if you don't want to take that long ride.
And which day is that? That ride is happening?
The 23rd is the actual being able to ride.
Okay.
And then, and the 24th, the following morning, between the ponds and here.
So that's the 24th. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they need the ponds for the ride, or they need up at the restaurant?
They camp out at the ponds.
They camp out at the ponds, but the riding will be starting up there. You'll have to get it. If you want to ride up there, you're going to have to go up there.
Okay.
And but if you don't want to go up there, you can ride from the ponds to here. And if people got little kids, that might be a good deal for them. They get to ride, and it's not too long for them. The other one's a pretty long ride.
Okay. Thank
about
you for that.
6 hours.
Ooh. And then you haven't received your mailing yet, but you will. We talked the last couple of board meetings about some members and prospective members wanting to essentially rent their cabin or, you know, put tents on their lots and then rent those out. And so a questionnaire is going out to the entire membership to get input from all of the members on, you know, what their opinions are on that. So that will be in the mailing that's going out to everybody. And when we get those results back, obviously we'll tabulate those, you know, try to get a better idea of what the majority of the members think is okay and not okay in terms of the, you know, appropriate use of lots at Deer Springs Ranch.
Quick question on that. Will you be tabulating, will you be expecting to have those results tabulated at the meeting, or will that be a follow-up?
No, I'm thinking that's a follow-up.
Okay, sounds good.
Everybody else agree?
I
would think it would be appropriate to have the follow-up discussion at the next meeting.
Okay,
yep.
Perfect.
With those results. Okay, and then update on solar integration for the lower cabins?
I'm waiting on, we're waiting on our building, and that's,
did we win the bid?
Yes,
we did.
Yes.
The building's coming from South Dakota, and so
we need somebody with a truck and a lift gate.
So as soon as we get our building, then we'll be able to move forward.
Once we get the building, it'll actually go together fairly quickly.
To transport it from where to where?
South Dakota to here.
South Dakota to here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
Well, lift gate, a couple days of time.
Hang on, let Brent finish up here.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it won't.
Can you hear me?
It will take that long once we.
We can't just.
Larry, go ahead.
Larry, you going to pick it up on your way home?
Basically, with all the rain and storm and floods and problems everybody's dealing with there, and I've been out of phone service for nearly a month. I dropped my phone in the river and just got a functional phone actually yesterday morning. So I've been lost 100% of all my contacts. So I just yesterday spoke with the guy in South Dakota, and he's saying, when are you going to get this out of here? And I said, well, I'm still trying to rearrange, recontact everybody. So, worst case scenario, I may have to just go get it when I get home in September, unless I can make other arrangements.
What was the bid price we got it at?
So anybody?
What was the bid price?
I paid, I'll have to look back up on the auction. I think I paid $1,500 for the
$1,500.
There's the building, some chain link fence, some paver stones, and some scaffolding. And so I need to decide what those other items are worth to me, and then what it takes for me to get it here, to determine what portion of that money is assigned to the actual building itself.
Okay, thank you for that. And then, hey, Larry, since you're talking now, let's go ahead in terms of individual board member areas of responsibility. Do you have anything that you want to mention since you're already talking? Now's the time.
I really don't have anything to add other than we will be coming up on the archery deer hunt beginning soon. As of yet, I do not have any person that is authorized or has permission to hunt ranch property or travel through. With the roads in the condition they are and the floods and everything else, I'm kind of deferring that back to John and Brent and others on what and when we do anything on road closures or not. But I will send a note as soon as I have any particular person that is authorized to hunt the ranch area. And then I'll be back, like I said, in 2 weeks.
Okay, sounds good.
Larry?
Yes.
Gus wants you to smoke a couple extra salmon.
I've got some dog treats, yeah.
Okay.
How about some John Harris treats?
Yeah.
I think there's an auction in our future.
I buy them every year.
Yeah.
Before anybody else gets a chance.
All right, thank you, Larry. Okay, moving on. The only other thing I wanted to add, and it's a follow-up on Dale's comment. Last month at our board meeting, Dale asked for some time to get up and talk a little bit, and obviously we did that. And he used the phrase Deer Springs Ranch Phase 2. And I made the statement during that meeting that I'd never heard anything about a Deer Springs Ranch Phase 2, and others said the same thing. And so I think that's where the confusion came in, Dale, is that, you know, everybody that's bought out here up till this point, unless somebody knows something that I don't know, had never heard any kind of a reference about Deer Springs Ranch Phase 2, and that's where the confusion came up. You know, what does that mean? We're buying another 8,000 acres? Does that mean, you know, there's just a lot of confusion about what would Deer Springs Ranch Phase 2 mean?
I'd like for a show of hands. How many here have heard of Phase 1? How many?
We are Phase 1, aren't we? I mean,
who's heard of Phase
1? Aren't we Phase 1? Isn't this... I mean,
is there... No, be very careful here.
Okay.
This is the first any phase of the election. There's no phases,
right.
Okay, be very careful. This is a trap.
Don't be surprised if somebody terms some future thing called Phase 2. I can count that far. So, yeah. And there is information... Mike, available on Phase 1 and Phase 2. Be happy to share it with anyone. And I was going to suggest using my email rather than taking time here. I have an email. I think all of you can spell Clarkson at canab.net.
Well, can you give us just a summary right now?
Question I haven't been asked to.
So, is Phase 1, Phase 2 information available on the website?
No.
Okay, so...
Or county records.
County records don't show Phase 2.
From the beginning that we're not all aware of, or what is it?
No.
Because I wasn't aware of a Phase 2 when I bought it.
I've been here 22 years. I never heard of it. When we were during the board meeting last week, I was shocked because I did not know anything about a Phase 2.
I should have probably spelled it or called it something different.
Well, can you now give us a little summary of what you're talking about?
Of the chairman.
So it's a proposal really from you for future development.
Well, that's what we're assuming it is, because
so
we,
he's
we don't have any other money
from the board to ask him.
Can you ask him?
Ask him
what is, hey, Dale, what is Phase 2? So, Dale, when you referenced Deer Springs Ranch Phase 2 at the meeting last month, what specifically are you referring to?
Mike, would you give me 10 minutes?
Well, I don't want to do it now, because we're already over 2 hours. But But you mentioned something with your email, and there are a very limited number of people now. Some of the people have already gone. So you mentioned your email. So if anybody does have questions about it or wants more information about it, they should simply contact you, Clarkson@canab.com. Canab.net.
Can he just share it with you, someone, and put it on the website so anybody can go see it instead of this one-to-one communication? Can we do that? That might be easier.
We don't want to talk about business.
No, that was about the meeting. I'm talking about, can you provide it to somebody on the board, and then they post it on the website, then we can all see it, and it can be at our leisure when we have the time. We can go on the website, take a look at it.
Individual.
I know, but then we don't know if it's apples to oranges or I get three pieces of pie or one piece of pie.
I think you should take 10 minutes now.
I just figured maybe
take
you could
10 minutes now.
Give us a.
We've been here 2 hours. What's 10 more minutes?
Okay,
but I'm going time that's at 10 minutes. Because I am hot.
Come on, you guys.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, baby.
I'm just kidding. I'm trying to scooch over.
I took my watch.
No, sure. So take
10 minutes.
It's just cryptic, so it's got
to be. Please quickly answer. What did phase one include? Hurry.
No
phase
idea.
One. What?
No idea.
Never heard of it.
Why
it
don't
doesn't
you?
Doesn't exist.
It's 300 lots. It's 100 miles of roads.
Right.
Cabins. It's water. It's 10 cabins. Isn't that pretty simple?
But
that's what happened.
That
what?
So in the origination of the 300 lots and all the other infrastructure, was there a plan for a future phase two? So that's why you're calling phase one.
Otherwise, it's just called Deer Spring
Branch.
Right
exactly.
It was just
confuse it however you want. Phase one, you guys have lived, you've paid for, pretty simple. Deer Springs is here. It's different than Sagebrush when I bought the ranch. All of you can understand that very easily. What's phase two? What does the future hold? We've talked about a pavilion for 40 years. We've talked about some water improvement programs for 40 years. We've talked about topping roads and getting them up out of the mud for 40 years. What is phase two? I hope that some of you participate and see that phase two happens to improve the roads. I mean, to improve the ranch. Now, go back one thing. All these things that were built, we built them, and somebody paid for them. Who paid for all these things? The members did. No, the members did. We sold 300 lots, raised money, and that money was put into things you guys see. Do we want anything in phase two? What do we want in phase two? I don't have a list. I could give you several things. I'm not going to. We need to decide, is there a phase two? Is there any future in this community? And if so, guess what? Who's going to pay for it? Same thing as the first phase. So phase one, in America, there's a way that you do business. And we did business in phase one. I think that there is going to be a phase two. I think we've got a lot of new people, old people, and I think there's a beautiful future in some changes for Deer Springs Ranch. And guess what? They've got to be paid for. And if somebody can pay for them or a gift, I thought we'd write Joe Biden and see if he wouldn't send $1 million or $2 out this. I don't think he will. I think we've got to do our own things here. So you be thinking, what do we want to do, and how can we do it? I might say that Vance Green built us a beautiful map. I have not distributed that map, Vance, to anybody. It will be soon.
But you gave me permission to send it to anybody who wants.
And that's right.
So feel free.
And I hope they have. But all of you I will mail out 300 of those maps so that everybody will see, and I want you to know what a fine job Vance did to share this map. And it may be kind of a piece of paper that we make notes on. So if it had a little more time, I would like to, a secretary, somebody, write down what are the 20 things that made up phase one. What 20 things do we want to suggest for phase two, and how? So that's
I've got a question.
So you're just talking about continuing to improve on what we already have. You're not talking about buying another adjacent ranch. You're just talking about
there's no ranches available.
Well, and again,
the BLM will not sell.
And again, I think that's where the confusion came in. Just thinking that it might be something proposed that was beyond what we already have, but you're just talking about continuing to improve and develop what you created in the first place.
Okay. I'm not buying any. Yeah.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense.
Okay, you said, and it's true, you sold 305 lots, and that's where the money came from to build everything. For phase two, whatever it includes, where do you propose we sell to get money?
John just told us that there was 320 lots.
Well, you know different. Back to my question. What do we sell to get phase two going? There's no more lots to sell. What do we have to sell to get the money? Or what's your plan?
I believe you and others will figure that out.
You're talking about the association property that we all own.
You decide.
I'm asking you because you have the plan. You're the one with the plan with the phase two that we don't know anything about. So we we're trying to pin you down on what are we really talking about.
What?
Is phase two recorded?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
No.
Is the pavilion recorded and water rights recorded?
Well,
no. I have. You,
water rights should story, be recorded.
No, there's no, thanks to Kathy Hunter, said she's been in the county trying to find out if there's a phase two. Yeah, I do know where I want to go, where I think all the members want to go.
But I think you should share that with us, because that's sort of the source
of
rumors.
That's where the
rumors.
Confusion comes
that's
in.
That's where
you
the
share with
the confusion
us.
Yeah.
Be happy to, but I only had 10 minutes.
Okay, I got four. I got something I want to say here, Dale.
I got four.
I was not here on the last meeting, and I had called you because I had just heard about phase two, which was a concern to me. So I called you and asked you if I could get a copy of what your phase two entailed, and you told me that you did not want to release anything right now. So I thought, well, I need to find out what he's talking about. So I did go to the county, and they did say there is nothing recorded as phase two. And so that's... It would be nice, because you are pushing for a phase two. You're the one that's brought this up. If you have a plan that you can present to us so we know what you're talking about, that would be awesome. I think we'd all, if it's talking about the improvements that you've talked about, I think that's great. Let's talk about it. If it's taking the 2,000 acres and selling it that the members already own, I do have a problem with that. But
I
think
too.
The majority of the...
I do too.
So I think clarification is what we need.
Right. That's why I think we need to talk about it. That's why I introduced it.
Right. That's why we are talking about it. And, Dale, after the last meeting, you handed out a list of, like, 9 items. That are, is that what, in your mind, is that the...
No.
That's not it?
I told you
okay.
that. I handed out... I'd like at a business meeting, generally, there are some propositions. I think that's what they're called, propositions. And if there's a proposition to do something, then usually somebody describes it, sends it out, and the members understand what the proposition is when they come to the meeting. It may be on the ballot that says, do you vote for or against Proposition A? Deer Springs has had propositions over the last 40 years. I have copies of them, and some of them. So, yes, that's why I asked a few minutes ago. I think a business meeting should be for business, partially.
So do you have a proposition? Is it spelled out? Is it written out so that we can evaluate it and bring it to the membership?
Would you like for me to?
I think we'd like to see what you're suggesting. Yes, absolutely.
I gave him a sheet of paper with 15 possible proposals. It can be thrown in the garbage. It wasn't serious. There are two or three things on there that are very important. There's some other things on there that are not important. I just used it as kind of an example that I knew Mike would take this and say, redline this, circle this, and then we'll ask questions and do some other things. I think we need to talk about this as membership and make a plan, if you want to call it that. Human beings have got to make some decisions. Cows don't care. I think there should be no cows in the fish pond or on Cabin Spring. That's my personal human judgment. Cows don't care. And there's a lot of other things.
Some things, Dale, don't happen overnight, though.
After 40 years, I'm thinking that some should happen.
But those things are a work in progress already, because we've said the same thing. Why are the cows in the... So people have gone in and fenced it off, and they're still getting through some kind
they're
of...
Getting a, they're
so
going through the cattle guard.
So, Dale, I think, if I can just summarize, I think what you're really asking for at the annual meeting is to have an agenda item, basically... What do the members want for the future of Deer Springs Ranch? I think some people are just happy to keep what they have and enjoy it. Other people might say, I want something more. And, you know, we all are interested in developing water rights. We all are interested in improving the roads. We all are interested in,
upgrading
cabins. You know, those things are kind of ongoing. But then maybe there are some new things.
The part is calling it phase two instead of just Deer Springs improvement.
But then there may be some other things. Like I personally, those of you that have been around for a while, I think it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago, Dale and Patsy offered, you know, they donated $50,000 to the ranch, and we literally got something in the mail saying, you know, what are your ideas on what this money could be used for? And I submitted a response, you know, a pavilion, a this, a that. I don't know that anything ever happened with that, but okay. I think that's what you're talking about. It's like, what do we want to see in terms of future development? You know, where should we focus our efforts and our money? You know, is it improving the roads? Is it improving the water? Is it improving the cabins? Is it adding something brand new we've never had before, like a pavilion, and try to get the members' input on what the members want to see for the future? Is that accurate?
Yes.
And they call
and
that
the
a
money
master
was
plan.
There, and the money has been argued over and wasted and not announced. The membership doesn't know what any of the money was used for.
Mariah, can you enlighten us
on
that?
I'm sorry, I disagree with that. That money was taken and it was applied towards cabins. The survey went out and the membership responded, and we took those responses and we implemented them to the portion that we could. The money was then told that it couldn't be used for certain things, and we had to narrow it down. And so it has been used. It's been used for cabin renovations, which was the number one thing the members asked for.
When she's done.
What's happening right now, this is the annual meeting forum. It's what it's for, okay? This kind of discussion. The forum is where we talk about stuff like this, but we do not, under any circumstances, decide it right then and there. Mm-hmm. Point two, the agenda's set. Done deal. Can't add items to the agenda for this year. End of story. Full stop.
I have a point also. I think it's semantics. He's calling it phase two. What I see and what I was going to suggest earlier when I said everyone presents their ideas is, what is your long-term goal? Can you give me the next year priority? 5-year goal. What do you expect to have happening within 5 years. So whether we call it phase two improvements to the ranch, it can be considered basically improvements on a five-year goal. And that's what everybody basically is saying. And as Jeff said, you can't say this is going to be done tomorrow. But these are the ideas. We have in the budget places where it says, this is our wish list. Instead of just having a wish list, maybe we should designate priorities. This is what we want to have accomplished within the next year. These are things we'd like to have accomplished in the next 5 years. Unfortunately, things come up. For instance, it's not been said, but the ranch truck is having a whole lot of problems. So the board has been looking to incorporate another truck. Sell the old one. That takes money. So five-year goal. What do you want to do as board members that you see? What does the membership see that they'd like in priorities? Because what Dale is saying is basically what we all want anyway. And it is a matter of money, and it is a matter of time. So that's what I wanted to say. Semantics.
Just one question, though. He's going around circles and stuff here. The rumor is that you want to take the common area and sell it or buy it.
That
and develop
is a lie. That is a lie.
So in the thing you
total.
Are, so in the thing
total.
You are not talking about developing the other 2,000 acres into selling lots to get
no.
more money.
No.
They're not. That's not in the phase. Okay, there we go.
It never, never has been.
Okay, so that's it. That's the rumor going around. It is. If that's not it, then that's all we need to know.
I hope everybody heard me say that is a lie. It's wrong. Some of you will still believe that I'm going to put a McDonald's in the wet meadow.
No.
That'll be a real sell.
That would be a Wendy's.
The kids want their Happy Meals.
Yeah, but you did bring up, Dale, you did bring up that perhaps we were smart enough to figure out what you have in mind about being able to afford the improvements. And I would ask you, maybe we're not that smart, and it would really be helpful if you would give us some ideas of how the money can be raised.
I will.
And then we can, that's something we can then deal with and bring to the membership. Do you guys want your dues increased? Do you want your lot split? Do you want X, Y, Z? So, but we haven't. By ourselves, I'm sorry, we haven't come up with a way to invest a lot of money in the ranch.
We'd love to hear
what your real idea is.
And error and dealing with 300 owners that are pretty smart.
Yeah.
And
that takes about 40 years.
Some of those, 100 of them have gone, but they're still very smart people. So yeah, we've learned different things.
So we would love to hear those ideas. And then we can approach them and the membership can approach it.
And I think you'll say, gee, that's so logical and simple.
I would love,
I think
know,
we all
I
want the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all want the same thing.
It works out good.
Okay, so that's everything on my agenda. So we're still on number 9B. Kurt, anything you want to add?
I'm good.
Done. Kathy, anything you want to add?
The only thing I wanted to add is we still got cows over there in Podunk. And anybody traveling in Podunk, please be aware that the roads are pretty bad until we can get that culvert in. Just please take it slow because it is a little dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as we get that culvert in, that'll help us on the one. There is a bad S-turn at Brinkerhoff, and that is really narrow also. So just be aware of those two.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So the road on Brinkerhoff going into Podunk is really, really in bad shape.
Oh, yeah.
Who's responsible for that one?
Not, is that
not
county?
On Scudempaw, but on, no, not on Scudempaw, but coming from Scudempaw into
You mean
Podunk.
from the Y?
It's yeah. on yeah. it's
yeah.
on Brinkerhoff.
Do we have a Title 5 on that?
Always
yeah, that should be a Title 5.
It's bad.
So we can maintain it, yes.
Is that,
yeah, cool. We've maintained
is that
before,
the same area there that the Brinkerhoff's come and
water line is.
It cussed out your
yes,
husband?
It's that same area.
And it is that.
When he was working on it. He was working on it.
We can't get out.
And they come out there and the Brinkerhoff's grandsons come over and test him a blue screen.
I think it was the grandpa. He was the old man.
So oh, I thought it was the young kid. See, so I don't know
the why.
When you're going up Skinnabob,
it's that whole, there's
right
like
past
half
the
of
cattle guard, right?
It's
right.
Where the water line goes through, and it is really narrow.
So at least it was.
Let me ask this question.
Hasn't changed.
I remember that vividly about him coming over there, and I was upset about it when I heard about it. Because we were improving a road over there that they used too.
Yeah.
Well,
is that a Title V road or
yeah.
is it their road?
Yeah.
Well, we have a Title V on it, but which gives us the ability to maintain it.
Okay.
Not necessarily make it. I don't think we can make it any wider or anything, right?
No, the Title V, if we want to make it wider, then they have to do an environmental assessment.
Right.
Well, we can make it wider than it is right now because it's narrower than it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it's been partly eroded away down the line.
Okay.
Yeah, you can put it back.
So, in other words, the breaker halls are out of line.
Yes.
What problem
sounds
did they
like
have
it.
With it?
I know. I agree.
Just the fact that we were really maintaining
bad.
The road.
I know.
They've got a culvert, and then they've got a water line that comes in. What's from their name? Spring, and it comes in.
Feet.
And when you get that culvert plugs up, the water all comes
water
up over the road and washes. This is the both places in Brinkerhoff, and it just washes that all out, and it's all it's just an empty hole. I mean, it's very dangerous.
See, every year,
I got pictures here.
Yeah. Every year,
I don't understand why they would object to fixing it.
Yeah, they're repairing the road.
I think he was having a bad day with his horse.
Mike,
he was.
Oh, Larry,
no,
I'm sorry.
Mike,
Larry wants to say something. Go ahead, Larry.
Let me just do a real quick explanation on any of you would be upset if the road goes through the middle of your property and somebody else comes and just does whatever they want.
Correct.
So, yes, we have Title V. We have the right to maintain that road. The right way to do it would be to contact them and arrange it and say, this road is dangerous. We'd like to fix it. Do you want to help us fix it? You want to let us fix it? You want to just be mad about us fixing it? But just to go and do it and then expect them to not care is kind of naive.
It was approved, Larry. Or we talked to somebody. I don't know who it was,
that,
but we did.
That's
talk
what
to
I was told.
Yeah, we
that
had.
Is what I was told, that it was. I can't think of the old man's name that died. What's his name?
I don't remember.
No, your neighbor up there, the one.
Lee Beller.
Lee, yeah.
Lee Beller told me, he said, I personally asked the old man, and he got permission. But I'm asking them.